Just now we're studying the church. I'd like to discuss with you a little now about women's place in the church. First of all, let me tell you that I greatly respect and admire Christian women who are devoted to the Lord and who are trying to serve Him. And I honor them. But my dear sisters who are listening today, I want you to know that I must teach what I see in the Word of God. Now, only Christianity gives woman the place that she is given here. Compare the heathen religions. Compare the religions of the world. Think about the countries where these religions have dominated the thinking of the people. And you'll find that women are little more than chattel. They are just property. They have no rights. They are not highly thought of at all. Where but in Christianity could you find a woman honored like the mother of our Lord Jesus, or like the messengers at the resurrection of Christ? In fact, in the New Testament, woman is taken as a type of the church, as the bride of Christ, we're told the church is likened. Now in Galatians 3, verse 28, we read, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." As to our position in Christ Jesus, now he's not discussing the church, he's talking about our position in Christ, our place in relationship to the Lord Jesus. As to this, there is neither male nor female. All of God's children are loved equally, all are honored equally, all are given the blessings of the family of God equally. However, when it comes to church order, which you find mainly in Paul's letters to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 14, we read this. And here he is speaking about the place that women ought to have in the church. "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." Now some well-meaning people say to us, "Oh, this has nothing to do with their praying or teaching or preaching. This means that they are not to jabber away and babble," and they give us different meanings for the word speak. Well, if you will take the time to investigate this, you will find that exactly the same word is used all through this chapter for speaking. If it means chatter in these two verses, then it means chatter when you read in verse 29, "Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge." Do you think he's suggesting that the prophets ought to chatter and the women not? Let's be honest with the Word of God. Let's not misinterpret it. Paul said in verse 19, In the church I had rather speak five words, that's the same word, with my understanding, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. No, he isn't talking about women chattering at all. That's not the explanation for 1 Corinthians 15. It isn't fair, it isn't honest, and it certainly isn't correct. The reason that God gave woman this limitation is explained for us a little bit later, Paul's letter to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says in verse 8, "I will therefore that the men," literally, and this is the word for males, not the generic term for mankind, "but I will therefore that the males pray everywhere." But then the women are addressed, and we read in verse 11, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." After he states what he does in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, just two or three verses farther on, verse 37, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." Now, one woman preacher, quite famous a few years ago, when asked about this passage, said, "Oh, that was Paul's idea. He was just an old bachelor and he didn't like women." Now, my friends, that borders on blasphemy. This is the Word of God. The Spirit of God caused to be put here what He wanted to be here. There are certain limitations. Men have limitations. Women have limitations. Let's observe these limitations. Another limitation placed on Christian women in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is this. He tells us that the women are to wear a covering on their head. He says that if a man prays or prophesies with his head covered, he dishonors his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. Now this does not mean her hair, because there would be no point in saying, let her also be shorn, if being uncovered means having her hair cut. I wish you Christian women would investigate this carefully. I wish you'd look it over. Here's something that you can do for the Lord. We're told in verse 10 that this is because of the angels. The marginal reading is that a woman ought to have a covering on her head as a sign of her subjection to her husband because of the angels. I don't know of any place in Scripture where men are given the privilege of being an object lesson to the angels. Now, what privileges are given to women? If they are denied public participation in prayer or preaching, does that mean they're not to pray? Well, of course not. There's a great deal of opportunity for prayer and intercession. People who only pray in public haven't much to say anyway. In the home, a very great privilege and responsibility is given to Christian women to rear their children for the Lord. Let me just stop here and say a word to you who may not be the children of God. You want your children brought up right. You want them to go to Sunday school. Have you ever considered your own responsibility? How do you expect your children to become Christians if you reject the Lord Jesus? Salvation is a free gift. The Lord Jesus loved you and died for you, and you could be saved right now by receiving the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And then you could teach your children. My mother was able to teach me effectively because she first of all received the Lord Jesus for her own Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verses 9 and 10 tell us about Christian hospitality, the privilege of using your home for the Lord if you're a Christian. And the 14th verse tells us about the privilege of rearing children for the Lord. In the 18th chapter of the Acts, you find a Christian woman named Priscilla who was teaching a house guest, a young man named Apollos. She and her husband were teaching this young man. There's nothing wrong with a woman teaching, it's just that she is not permitted to teach publicly. She is permitted to teach children, according to 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, and in Titus 2, verses 3 and 4, it very plainly puts the responsibility on older women for teaching the younger women. And then what wonderful opportunities we have for serving the Lord. The 16th chapter of Romans tells us about a number of women who were servants of the church, of the Christians, doing what they could to help other Christians. And of course, in many places where women have a share in giving to the work of the Lord. In the mission field, there are many opportunities in homes for children and old people, nursing and teaching, and visiting women in the homes. There are many places where only a woman is able to speak to other women. And of course, in private, she may speak to men about the Lord as well. Worship and intercession, all of these things are open and should be the functions of Christian women as well as men. Now, if you look into this, you'll find that no woman wrote any part of Scripture. There were no women priests in the Old Testament. There were no women officials in either the tabernacle or the temple. No woman was chosen to be an apostle, an evangelist, a pastor, or a public teacher in the New Testament. The witnesses given in 1 Corinthians 15:5-9 include the names of no women, and no woman ever performed a public miracle. It's just the modern trend toward women's rights and so on that have crowded men out of the church. You look into this and see if this isn't true. Now, if you're a child of God, you want to do things His way. This is why we're studying as we are. We want to find out God's order. Let's get back to the simple New Testament teaching in this matter as well as in all others. And the Lord bless you, dear Christian women. And if you're not a Christian, do trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. No one else is able to raise you to the place that you ought to have. Our Father, we ask you to bless thy word to us. Save those who are not yet saved, we pray. And help our Christian sisters to be glad to do things according to the godly order. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.